Chat and chocolate. I want to talk about the power of chocolate for a minute. So take out your Hershey Kiss and unwrap it. Okay, so don't say we never gave you anything. Okay, so we're going to talk about the power of chocolate. You know, women take a rap for this, love of chocolate. How many guys are here tonight and love chocolate? I love chocolate. I'm addicted to chocolate. It has power over me. I'm powerless over chocolate. I love this. If a woman is upset, hold her and tell her how beautiful she is. If she starts to growl, retreat to a safe distance and throw chocolate at her. That's great. Let's have our closing prayer. That's all we need to hear tonight, I think. Wow, throw chocolate at her. So take out your chocolate kiss. Romans 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. We're going to have a chat and chocolate right now. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. The key to generosity is to associate it with pleasure. So I'm going to see how coordinated you are. I want you to hold your kiss in one hand and pass the bag with the other hand. If you have an offering, you put it in, or your push pay app, put it in, and then eat your chocolate as it goes by, because your brain will begin associating, I love giving. I just love it. Give, 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 give. Okay? And so we're going to do that right now. We're going to do this. This is our activity together. And then I got something else I want you to do. Okay? So guest service is going to come up. This is a really coordinated effort. I don't know about you, but my chocolate is already melting in my fingers. Okay? Next time we're going to do M&Ms. And so take your chocolate as it passes by the bag and just, you know, put it in your mouth, savor it. If you're diabetic here tonight, I'm so sorry you can't participate, but you can still give if you want to give. But what we're going to talk about is this joy of generosity, okay? Listen. When we go talking about what Jesus talked about more than any other subject besides eternity was money, when we talk about it, we're not talking about something that's supposed to be a duty. We're not talking about generosity from you. We're talking about generosity for you. For you. Because if you understand what God does when we're generous to His causes, you will not hesitate. How many of you tonight, if you got a tip, a stock tip that you're going to get 100% return on your investment, how many would you say, well, if I have to, I guess I'll invest in that stock? You wouldn't say that. You'd say, what? Hello? Tell me where to, you know, go to make this investment. You would do that. And Jesus says, whoever leverages financial assets for me and my kingdom will not fail to receive 10,000% return on investment, 100 times as much. He said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has in store for those who love Him. And so when we talk about doing this, we're not talking about, oh gosh, yeah, I got to do this. It's a, you know, I owe, it's off to work I go, you know, because I owe God. And what we're going to do in this series is hopefully achieve helping all of us see the joy of generosity. Now, the one thing about this is there's always a glitch whenever we do this. You know what the glitch is? Is people like myself and Joe, who will be doing the talks, are giving them. And that's a glitch, right? Because the thing about hearing a preacher talk about money is it sounds so self-serving for me to do that. I draw my salary from this church. And so, you know, oh yeah, really, sure, you want us to give. So, you know, you can live in this opulent house with the air-conditioned doghouse and everything. So there's just right off the bat, there is a lack of credibility, and I realize that. And so sometimes people say to me, boy, it's just got to be really hard to do that, isn't it? And it's really not because of this, because I have seen in my own life the number one destroyer of atheism in my life has not been the Bible. It's been what the Bible says about this. The number one, I would so easily have been an atheist. But the number one factor in destroying the seeds of atheism in my soul has been this right here. And this will either make you your own little God, or it will draw out of you realities that there is a God, and He is active not only in the world, but He's active in my life because I have chosen to make Him active in my life. So what we're going to do in this series is we're going to animate Dollar Bill. And we're going to watch the power of His crazy, soul-changing, soul-renewing adventure, spiritually speaking. Because this, Dollar Bill, every dollar bill you have in your wallet waits to see whether you're going to use it for temporary purposes that rust and moth destroy and thieves break in and steal, or whether you're going to translate that in a spiritual journey into heaven. Because the Bible says you cannot take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. That's what it says. In essence, that's what it says. That you can literally turn this into heavenly treasures, people that are forever. So here's the second thing I want us to do, and this is really going to test whether you trust me or not. So if you're a first-timer, just ignore what I'm about to say, okay? Because I don't want you to think we do this all the time, because we don't. I want you to take out your wallet, okay? So I want you to take out your wallet, okay? So take it out right now. Take it out of your purse, okay? All right? Now, I want you to hand it to the person next to you. We have just gone to DEFCON 1 in this room. Okay, now we're going to take up another offering, okay? I want you to give as you've always wanted to give. No, okay, so take it back, okay? All right, now here's the thing. Here's my wallet. My wallet, I have one of those. It's my phone. It's my wallet. So I have, my Kroger Plus card in here, and I have my insurance card, and some, I don't carry very much cash, and I have, the MasterCard God in here and the Visa God in here. So hold it up, okay? Because here's what I want you to see. Here's the thing we're going to look at. We're going to look at the power of money. That money is either a tool or a drug. And it's not both. It's not both. So here's the thing. Most easily in this country, what you're holding in your hand right now is a drug container. I'll put it this way, okay? What you're holding in your hand right now, researcher Jeff Peffrey from Stanford University says he says, the more possessions in our country, this is research, the more possessions in our country the person has, the less they value possessions. Which kind of makes sense, like the more you have, you ever spoil your kids, right? And it's like they don't value things, correct? They play with the boxes, for crying out loud. If we could just buy the boxes. But here's what he found in his research. The more money people make, the more they value it. The more that money they make, they actually value it more. His conclusion: the more I pay you, I'm telling you, the more you're worth as a person. He tells his Stanford class on economics, a raise is only a raise for 30 days. After that, it's a salary. Why is it? It's because money is not just a tool. It is also a drug. What you're holding in your hands right now is a pharmacy. You're holding a powerful drug that can give you an illusion based on how much your wallet has is how much you're worth as a person. We literally say that in our country, right? How much is she worth? How much is he worth? And so we live in a culture that literally feeds this obsession with this little drug called dollar bill. Here's when I was writing this week, I just put it this way. I just want to read it because that money is this powerful drug on the street that was designed. It's a designer drug that was designed to do incredible good. The danger of this drug is that when it is misused and misunderstood in its purpose, it becomes highly addictive. The epidemic of its misuse is spreading, slowly destroying the lives and families of millions. even while it's blessing the lives of millions. The illusion of this drug is that it doesn't destroy quickly, as in a sudden overdose. It slowly erodes the most sacred values of life over a period of months or even years, decades. The allure of this drug is that people derive their personal sense of value from this drug that feeds that need and then turns in the blink of an eye to take it away. Curing people who have had a damaging dependency on this drug requires radical recovery and regeneration of mind and soul. It takes a God miracle. And it's true. What you have in your hands right now has the power, like a drug, to make you feel like you could jump from a roof. It can make you feel like you're worth so much. It can make you feel so free, because that's what money is. Money, essentially, money, you know, this little thing is just a symbol, right? It's a symbol. It's not anything, but it symbolizes time, talent, and energy. And when people give you enough of it for what you do, then you feel more worth something, right? You do. We all do. We all do. Now, the other thing that's complicated about me talking about this, but also I'll tell you in all candor, gives me some credibility on this, is this. Part of the problem with it is I gave my life 30 years ago to the local church. I decided to devote my whole life, and I've told you this before, my purpose in life is to take as many people to heaven when I die and bring heaven to as many people as I can when they die by serving my family, growing the local church, and participating in athletics. And I've stayed pretty focused on those three things. I really have. God wired me to, as an athlete, to really focus in that arena and impact for His kingdom. He gave me a passion for the local church. I believe it's the greatest force of good, eternally speaking, in the world. In the words of 1 Timothy 3, it is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Take the church out of the world and you're going to have all kinds of crumbling going on. And He gave me a passion to make sure I put my family first on that. But I discovered early on, and Sherry, with much consternation, will verify this, that I had a gift of giving. That there's a spiritual gift. Part of one of the play abilities is the giver ability. And I have always ranked high on that in terms of I have an ability to make money and then I love to give it away. I love to give it away. And so we got married early on, and back in the day when I started, Dave Ramsey he's my age, so a little older, so he wasn't really all that big of stuff, but Ron Blue was. Ron Blue was a guy who was big stuff, and he wrote books, and I devoured his books. And we started out in ministry, and we gave 20% of our income to missionaries and to the local church. And then we had kids. And then we had kids. And man, this whole goal I had to someday give 50% of my income away, I mean, it just started, boom, it just started decreasing. And then we came to this church. It was a new church. And the church we left in Kentucky was actually larger than the church that had been started here. And we took a pay cut from that church in Kentucky to come here. Sherry thought she thought I was absolutely crazy. And I think they knew they had this young guy coming here that they could get him on the cheap. They think in Kentucky you don't wear shoes or anything, so they knew they could get us cheap. And I know what they were doing. And so here we are living in warm and cheerful but expensive Centerville. And it was really difficult. No kidding. Our family, we many times. You ever had that where you're looking for quarters in the couch, right? You know, you're looking for quarters in the couch, and we did that for many years. And our giving, it was hard. And then our kids became teenagers. And this was the most difficult period for me personally, because here I am trying to lead a church and model generosity. And we had $1,000 a month medical bills. We had, you know, anybody here have kids in youth sports? It's real cheap, isn't it? And we were giving out $1,000 a month in youth sports, hotels and travel and fees and stuff like that. And our giving our finances were a mess. It was just a mess. It was a very shameful period for me, that period, because here I am. I believe in God's principles, but my life financially is just, boom, it's just a mess. And here's what I've learned, though. I've learned, frankly, to be, I think it made me better at communicating this because I'm more compassionate to those of us who hear these messages and go, I know. I mean, I want to do this, but I can't. I'm so in debt. We have college bills. We have medical bills. And I don't know what to do. And I say that because what I'm going to do and what Joe and I are going to do in the next month is the issue in your spiritual growth. It's the issue. It will unlock things in your life that will, it's stunning what God will do. But I want you to hear it, that it's not a duty that you owe. It's something not that we want from you, but God wants for you. And so I've tried to be very open about this. And so, you know, God bless it. Our kids grew up. So for the last 4 or 5 years or so, Sherry and I give a lot of money to this church. I've told you, you know, I want to lead the way. We give $1,500 a month to this church alone. And we give to some missionary organizations. And I've asked you, do what we do. Because you know what happens is his promise to return a 10,000% return on investment. He said it this way, 100 times as much, is absolutely the truth. It's absolutely the truth. You cannot believe how God begins to get involved in your life. And what begins to happen is you become free from the money drug that is an illusion of personal worth. It's an illusion. Look at these words. They're in your program. I don't put them on the screens. These critical words from 1 Timothy chapter 6. And there's just a couple of passages here that just put it so well. Paul says to some people in, he was the church leader in the city of Ephesus, the Ephesian church. And he tells them, Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. Like when you want a formula for how to handle finances, that's godliness plus contentment equals great gain. You want to get ahead, you want to get ahead of the Joneses? The Joneses probably aren't doing this, okay? They're probably not doing this. They're probably in debt up to their eyeballs and they're not, it's kind of hurt their spiritual priorities too. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. And this is true. I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul, right? That old thing. You've never seen that happen. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Now, that's really interesting because it's true. We're not entitled to anything, are we really? I mean, we're really not. But remember, the average transportation in the world is a broken down bicycle. The average meal is a bowl of rice a day in the world. That's the average, if you average it all out. So if we have food and clothing, he says we should be content. Now, I'll give you a baseline in America, because he'll say, give me some specifics on this. As you listen to this, if you have a two-car garage and you're getting really irritated with me right now, money has a hold of you. That's like a pretty safe bounce. It's just a pretty safe. If you got a two-car garage and there are two cars in it, and you're irritated, like you don't want to come back this month because we're going to be talking about this. Money has you're addicted to the drug. You're living under an illusion that you're worth more if you have more of that. And you're going to see what he says here in a minute about that. About, that is just not smart. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Now, as we're reading this, think about it as a drug. What is said there, I have a really good friend who one time said, I can clearly remember the first time that I had a narcotic. I felt so powerful. I felt so relaxed around people for the first time. So everything that's being said right here about money, you could say about a narcotic. Some people have ruined their lives with drugs, right? And he says some people, they are so hungry to feel the sense of self-worth that comes with money that they just table spiritual priorities. They ignore their wife, their husband, and kids. They do all kinds of things, and people watch and going, why is she doing that? Why is he doing that? It's because of the hope of the hit, right? The hope of the hit. But it leads to ruin and destruction. For the love of money, and then you've known this verse, people say money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. Money is a neutral symbol. It does not have a soul. The love of what money can provide in a sense of self-worth is a root of all kinds of evil, because money is power. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And I think it's interesting that Paul used a word that is similar to a needle. And in the last year, I've done 5 heroin-related funerals. It's an epidemic in our culture. And one of the things about heroin that you just can't understand is, you know, if you pop a pill, you smoke something, you snort something, I kind of understand that, but piercing yourself with a needle, it seems crazy, doesn't it? And it only seems crazy if you don't understand the hit that comes with it. And you say, why would someone do that? Why would they shoot themselves up? It's because of the hit, man. Now, for every hit, there's an unbelievable hit back, and it is literally killing thousands of families in America right now. And what he does here is say, if money is in charge of your life, it will do a similar thing to you. You are piercing yourself with many griefs. And the illusion is that you probably won't OD on it. You'll slowly shrink your soul. Your soul will slowly shrink. And because we become the God that has control of us. That's what we become. We are whatever we worship, that's what we turn into. And so look what he says. He says, command those, verse 17. He says, as a result, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Does anybody here possibly remember 2008 and 2009? Has anybody forgotten about that? Trillions of dollars in personal worth lost in a day. So uncertain. If you're putting your hope in that, oh my gosh, the scriptures say. It's just not smart. Now notice that I'm commanded to tell you this. So Paul is telling Timothy, who had my role at Ephesus, what I have here. It is my job to tell you this. If I don't tell you this, I am abdicating my responsibility. Don't put your hope in wealth. But put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. That is so good, because the other thing is we hear this and we go, oh gosh, I cannot tell you how many people say, like this has happened so many times. So we're just going to clear the air on this, okay, right now. I heard you got a new car. Yeah, we got a new car. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm materialist. I got a new car. I mean, that's always the sense I get is, yeah, we're going to hide it because we can't. No! God gives us things for our enjoyment. I love this idea. I read this week about a guy who went to his pastor and said, I have this large gift I want to give to the church. And he said, that's great. Why are you doing this? He said, you want to know the honest truth? He said, there's this car I want. And I presented the idea to my wife that I would get this car. And she said, that's fine. But whatever you're giving for the car, I want you to match that giving it to the Lord. And he said, so I'm here. I want that car. And he said, she put on me a luxury tax. That's what she did. A luxury tax. And I love that imagery because it really presents this idea that God's not trying to make you miserable. Now, obviously, this truth has been used abusively, right? We've all seen the evangelists on TV say, God will turn your cataract into a Cadillac if you just give him your money, you know? And so we've seen this principle abused and misused, you know, just name it and claim it and God's going to... No, God sometimes is riches anyway, aren't material. But he says, command them to put their hope in God, which is, that money is so uncertain, but God's not uncertain. And he wants you to enjoy things. That's the thing, is when you know you're being generous to his causes, and his cause is the poor, spiritual poor and physical poor. That's his cause in the world, the spiritually poor and the physically poor. When you're given to his cause in the world, you enjoy it. You enjoy what you have even more. Command them to do good. Our language is, put your life in play. How? Be rich in good deeds, be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Paul is paraphrasing Jesus' words, do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. When you are generous to God's cause in the world, to people spiritually and physically poor, you know what the adventure that this, you are sending your money to heaven. Because the only thing in this world that's eternal is people. That's it. Everything else is gone. The grass of the field withers and wastes away, but the word of the Lord lives forever. The scriptures and people are the only things that are eternal in this world. And when you and I are generous, we are sending dollar bill to heaven. That's what we're doing. So here's what I want to leave you with. You know, my job is to be the sand in the oyster that produces the pearl, but it irritates the oyster first, right? Dollar bill is waiting on you. He's waiting on you. And the wait is to see the decisions you make with dollar bill, because God knows the decisions you make with dollar bill make you. They really do. Your decisions, you make them, and then the decisions make you. And come back in this series as we talk about God's drug freedom program. He has a way for us to be free of the money drug, and it's no longer a drug, it's a tool, and we are blessed as a result. What did Jesus say? It is more blessed to give than to receive. So come back in coming weeks as Joe and I talk about this more. And, you know, it can be so uncomfortable, but the reason is because the adversary doesn't want you to hear this. As long as he's got you, he wants to keep you. And the reason this is uncomfortable is because it is a big deal. It is a huge deal to your future. So let's pray, and then we're going to be done. So, Father, right now, as we digest these words of Scripture, we've received a command tonight. Of joyful generosity marks us. It marks who we are. Because we are a people gradually being freed from the money drug. We are people who are no longer measuring our worth by what's in our wallet, but by what you did at the cross in purchasing us. That's our worth. That's our worth. Every man, woman, and child here, their purchase point was the blood of Christ. And we live out of that reality. And so we end this night with a statement of the bread and the juice that say we are children of God. And no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what you have in store for those who love you. And so we dismiss now in joy. We thank you for this word, and we pray in Christ our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Have a great night, everybody.